Blog Talk Radio.
Anybody who knows this song, sing along.
Oh yeah, and anybody that knows this song, which most of you do, you're welcome to sing along. So if you all stand up.
Kate picks you up in the
did a sound check. They said it was all right.
before I start off with anything, I'm going to let Tehunshi come on because many people need prayers right now. There's a lot of wicked things going on, and, you know, a lot of wicked people need prayers. Tehunshi.
Yeah.
How you doing this evening?
Must be. Finally made it back on.
Yeah, well, we had really busy last month, you know, a lot of sun dances, a lot of spiritual activities, and even right now we have Rosebud Fair going on, you know, and that's a crazy place. You know what gets me about that, Tehunshi?
Yeah.
Real quick, you know that fair started right after Little Bighorn in celebration of the Warriors for defeating Custer.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you go over there and they're circled with American flags. What the hell happened there?
Yeah.
Supposed to be celebrating Custer's victory, but looks more like they're celebrating Custer. You know, it's strange behavior that our people have. You know, how they started changing over the years and more glorifying that flag. And, you know, they all got their excuses for flying it. I don't care. They have a million excuses for flying it. Every one of them will tell you why they're flying it. But you know what? That flag is no better no matter who the hell flies it. It's still a killer flag. But I'll let you, Tehunshi, our people need prayers. So go ahead.
Это он не чонкет, вам пьют дахой чичело цукаш. Ушуки лапо, хау ми так язы.
Васте. You know, right now, before we take off, I'll just go through, you know, some little bit. Right now, it's plum season. So, you know, if you're living on the res, go out and get them plums. Man, they're... I'll grab me a bunch of them. Gonna make me some pancake syrup out of them. Do you know what, Tehunshi? Why is it that only on the res you can get these kind of plums? You know?
Yeah, because like I said, it tells a story. You know, there's going to be hard times ahead. That's why they're showing themselves. That's the thing. Indians are pretty lucky that we have things like that. You know, you go anyplace else, it doesn't exist just there, you know, in that area. There's a lot of good berries that grow there. And plums is one of them. And that's, you know, they tell a story, crunchy those plums. How many years has it been since you've seen a crop like this, you know? It's going to be a tough winter.
You know,
that's what it's telling us. They better get prepared now, you know.
Damn, you're making me shiver right now.
Yeah, it's coming, you know, that's the thing. It's inevitable, you know.
You made me want to go slap on my Russian hat, you know.
but that's the thing. Some years there's a whole bunch of them. This year happens to be one of those years. You know, how long has it been since we had it like that? You know.
Yeah. Well, you know what? You're right. Cause last year, you know, it's been a while since we had plums, and We had a good crop of cherries too, and I'm looking forward. Buffalo berries are next, so
yeah.
You know, but we had some currants and cherries, so
yeah,
I really enjoyed that, you know. So anyway, I was just letting people know that, you know, we have
blessed people.
Yeah, we're having a lot of good things going on right now, you know, and I appreciate it. Lots of Ojapi, you know?
Yeah. You know, the Kunta, the old people, they used to dry it, you know, they dried it out and they, you know, you remember how our grandmas used to have those bags, canvas bags.
Yeah.
You know, and they put them in there, and, you know, wintertime, they grab a handful and make Ojapi, you know. That's how they did it back then. Nowadays, it's hard to find people like that, you know.
Yeah, well, we did that. We made them like burgers. We got we dried up a bunch of them burgers. Looked like burgers.
Cherries. And then currants, same thing, dry them out, save them, you know. Wintertime, you know, that's how we feasted a long time ago, you know. And like I was telling you, it tells a story, you know, how winter's going to be pretty tough. So they're telling people, get ready, you know. And a lot of choke cherries, a lot of currants, a lot of plums. There's going to be a lot of buffalo berries, too. So now's the time for people to get prepared, you know. That's what they're telling us.
Damn.
Climate change is a
problem. I'm slapping on my boots, too, as you're talking, you know. I'm getting ready right now. See, got my Russian hat on, my boots.
Larry said to put those high heels away.
Yeah. Larry used to, when he was in prison, he used to use a deck of cards, you know, for heels, you know. Slap some decks of cards and them shoes underneath, you know, give him some heels, kind of strut like Prince, you know. Yeah. Uchi guy, you know, got a deck of cards in there for heels, you know. you're right, you know, we gotta get ready for winter, and you know, those are good signs that people don't watch out for, you know. And
Lakotas are pretty lucky that they have things like that around that area, you know, like you were saying. There's no place else you could find stuff like that, you know.
These plums are unique, you know.
Yeah.
They have that sweet, sour taste, and I never found them no place else on earth, only on the res, you know.
Yeah, only on the res. Only on the res.
Right below the cabin. Remember the road up there and Sundance, right there on the side. A bunch of them are growing there, and we have some over here, all over and down by the river. Man, and there's lots of them. See, I was over there, filled up a couple bags real quick, you know. And we have, you know, we have had a lot of good choke cherries too, you know. You know what gets me though, what gets me is, you know, why is it that the majority of our people ain't into that no more? You know, like those, when I was young, grandma and all of us would hit the river and we'd be taking you'd see all kinds of families down there picking cherries and plums. They don't do that no more.
Yeah. 5-gallon buckets, large buckets, all kinds. You know, just people picking away, getting ready. You know, and that's what I'm saying. even these plums that you're talking about, they used to boil them, and then when they pop open, they drain the juice, and then just lay them out on the canvas and dry them out, and they keep the juice and they keep adding to it until it thickens up, you know. And that's how, you know, the old people were pretty smart. They'd make jam, they'd, you know, do all these things that, you know, people don't know how to do today, you know. These people nowadays and run that, down to 7-Eleven, you know.
That brings me to another point, Joshy. And this is kind of a touchy one. You know, right now, you know, we lost Leonard Crow Dog, and we have Rick and Dickie, and you know, over here there's Keith Horse looking and a couple others. But what I'm saying is you know, I seen this people on Facebook attacking these spiritual leaders, you know, calling them fakes and stuff. And, you know, I will tell you this. These guys I know, all winter long, they have sweat lodges. I don't care how cold it is. They have sweat lodges, the ones I know, you know. And they live this way. They were raised this way. They're Lakota speakers, you know. So this guy's saying, we need to get some spiritual leaders to have a group to go out and oversee these sun dances, making sure they're doing it right. And you know what, Tanashi, I don't believe that, because who is more Wakan than another one? What? How are you going to get a group of Lakota people that are more Wakan than these guys so they can go over and tell them how to run their sun dance, how they can run it, you know? To me, I was told, I always believe this, that it's between you and Tonkashila. It's like telling me I'm not carrying my chalupa right. That's between me and Wakan Tonka. That ain't, you know. But when we start going on Facebook, using Facebook, you know, Washichu, and start attacking medicine man, throwing smut on them, and maybe, you know, I agree, maybe some of these guys are too lenient, or maybe they are seeking money for what they do. Maybe they are. But I damn sure ain't going to get into that game, because what if they're not? Once you start attacking medicine men and like that, you know, you could be in some deep trouble with, you know, spirits might not like it, you know? So I'm not going to get into the game of attacking these spiritual leaders. Because I learned a long time ago, don't mess with the man of God. Because, you know, even Osama bin Laden, when they killed him, right after they killed him, all these Navy SEALs started committing suicide. A whole plane full of Navy SEALs crashed and died. All this. You know, Osama bin Laden was for his people, and he was a spiritual leader, you know. And, I'm not into the business of attacking spiritual leaders, especially on Facebook, and start acting like I'm more Wakan than they are. I mean, to me, I barely can handle an EP in four rounds, you know. I ain't trying to be no chief or nothing, you know. So I damn sure ain't going to get on Facebook and start attacking medicine men. Yeah, go ahead.
Tanshi, the thing about that is, you know, the old people, I've heard this from way back, and I still hear it today from these traditional people. They all tell us one thing, and that's, they say. They said, prayer is the only way. Pray together, they said. You know, even Leonard used to say that. All these medicine men, that's what they say. The power of prayer brought us this far. Look at what they did to us. Look at what they're still doing to us. Look at what they're doing to these other countries. And like you were saying, these people are holy men, you know, and things happen when you start condemning them, you know. And so everybody's got to understand that the power of prayer is something. It doesn't matter who's running the Sundance or what's going on there, you know. I see all these people fighting over stuff like that. You know, the power of prayer. If you're Lakota, you know, it doesn't matter where you stand, where you pray. The center of the earth is where you stand. You don't need a church. You don't need Swelaj. Anywhere you stand, Wakantunka's there. And if you believe that, like these old people say, there shouldn't be any controversy, you know. And these people that are doing this, playing medicine, man, they know who they are. There comes a time, like you said, that, you know, there comes a time that that bag that they're playing with is going to get full, you know. And these ones that are pitiful Unshika people that people don't hear about and stuff, you know, some of these people are real medicine men. You know, some people have the communications, but they never flaunt it. They never put themselves out there. They're Unshika people. And that's the problem. See, that's the thing. All these people, these Facebook warriors or whatever you want to call them, you know, they get out there. Now, look at how it is. You know, when it first started, the Lakotas, the Sundance, we invited these people to come and pray with us. We didn't say they could own it or that they were medicine men. Only Lakotas that have the bloodline are medicine men. You got to be born of it. That's how it was back in the day. Now it seems like even Washichos are trying to be medicine men. You know, what gives it that? You know, like I always say, we Indians are our greatest enemies. We're our own enemies. And that's what this proves. See, it doesn't matter where you stand. If you believe in the power of prayer and these guys that are playing medicine man and stuff, they got to look for a real one, you know. Pay attention because people are easy to fool. People believe anything nowadays. Like on this Facebook stuff. You don't know who you're condemning. Be kind to everybody. Remember, what's his name? Inayatna used to tell us that. Have pity on people. Have compassion. That's one of the things that I see we're losing big time. You know, all these people, they don't have compassion anymore. They want something and they'll do anything to get it, you know. Instead of having that compassion, it doesn't exist anymore. And then, you know, like I say, the Lakotas, that's Lakotas own the Sundance. That's ours. And nobody else could claim that. We're the only people that could claim that. And yet, you see all these other people from different other tribes saying, oh, such and such gave me the power to do this. You know, there's only one guy that gives you power, and that's Wakantunka. And that's why we have real medicine men up to this day. And it's sad. We're running out of these medicine men. Look at my brother Leonard just left. You know, one year we lost 15 medicine men. They all died, one right after the other. And at one time there was 28 medicine men throughout all the Sioux tribes. Look at how far we are now. You know, the healing power of the Lakota people is starting to disappear. The language, like I always tell people, the language is important because that's the foundation to all of this. Tunkashla did not speak English. They didn't speak French. They didn't speak all those languages. They spoke Lakota. And all these other tribes that the white man came and conquered, they took everything from these people. That's why the Lakotas said it's okay for them to come and pray with us. But they couldn't own it. They could come and pray, and that was what it was about. Because they had compassion, our ancestors. They seen that. They seen the future.
Whoa.
See, so the compassion is what they carried. And it should still be that way. But like you were saying, all kinds of people condemning each other and stuff. You know, it's like, geez, it's hard to believe.
Here's the deal. You know, here's a guy that's, you know, Lakota. So
yeah,
he feels important. So he's a Facebook warrior, and he's going to start attacking Lakota medicine men.
Yeah.
Our Lakota spiritual leaders. And here's my point. You know, my point is this, and this is on Facebook. It's just like one time they wanted to fight over the white buffalo calf pipe. I know you probably remember that. Well, they were going to take it to court. Can you imagine taking the white buffalo calf to white man's federal court to see who owns it? You know, my point is this. The Washichu ain't got no business in this.
No, they do not.
And these Lakota or whoever the hell, I know who he is and all that, they wanna use Facebook to attack, you know, our people. And there's more of this going on. Right now I'm sticking to this spiritual thing because it just occurred. And I remembered these AIM guys, you know, GGC guys, were attacking Leonard Crow Dog a few years back. And they were saying this. They were telling, and they even got a couple Lakotas to jump in with them. You know, telling them, well, since you're related to them, why don't you go tell them to stop it? That's your job. You know, they actually think that I'm going to go tell Uncle Leonard how to run his ceremony. They have no clue what a medicine man is. They don't even know, but yet they carry what they call a chanupa. They went up there in Greengrass and danced with them people up there. Now they run around thinking they got a chanupa, and then they condemn me and you because you're talking Lakota on the radio show. You see? And that brings me to another point. You know, just like this Lakota man attacking my niece from here on Facebook. Who is this woman? I'll find out who she is and rah, rah, rah. Because these Tokas took my niece up to Rapid City and dumped her up there. You know, she's on a pacemaker. She has, and I talked about this last week. I'm going to not say a lot about it this time, but she has a Parkinson's disease and all that. And they took her from California up there and accused her of something and did a live feed to make it look like they're legit. And then on the live feed, they dialing up the cops to bust her, and they had her busted her for trafficking them. And this woman's like 50 years old, Lakota woman. And there's everybody saying, who is she? Rah, rah, rah. She don't have a, but the person's doing this, the one girl, she ain't no Hopi. You know, and I'm not putting down our Mexican people either because they're indigenous. But you know what? She's not Hopi. She's Mexican. And she don't have a ID card herself, but they're asking my niece to show her ID card. She don't have to. We don't have to show nobody nothing. But this Lakota guy, and I don't care. I'll say his name, Joseph Redhorse, you know. He's jamming her up. He's over there telling, jumping in with these women that are attacking our relative, you know, because she's your relative too, and attacking her and saying, who is she? Where's her ID? We don't know her. Who knows her? Rah, rah, rah. And this guy, a few years back, posted a picture of one of our relatives in Wounded Knee 1973 at Wounded Knee with a rifle, and he told everybody that was him back in the day. That's the kind of dude this guy is. His dad was born in California. His mom was born in or someplace in Oklahoma. But he runs around acting Lakota, and at the end of his line, he says, "Me tackle ye, oh yes." You know, he's really using this. And you know, I don't like people attacking my family. I tell you that right now. My family comes first, you know. My people come first, you know. And if you're somebody from another tribe, don't you dare come over attacking my people and asking my people for ID card and accusing my people and then taking her all the way to California, I mean from California, and dumping her up there with no money, accusing her of trafficking. First, he said she stole a phone. I like to see proof of that. But on Facebook, you don't need proof. All you need is a bunch of idiots to back you up, to jump in with you, you know? And they did this, you know? And call the cops, snitch, you know, on her for trafficking. Well, the cops took her in. They found out it was absurd. They didn't want to believe it, so they let the girl out. And these people, the cops wanted to talk to them, but they headed back to California. They left her with no money. And you know what? You don't do that. And then they said, they had nerve to tell me, "Hey, well, that was your niece. I trusted you." I said, "You know what? That was my niece, right? And I trusted you. And I didn't tell you to take her up to Sturgis Motorcycle Rally, because that's where they went, to Sturgis Motorcycle Rally with all the Washichus." And then they say, "We weren't with Washichus. We were with other Indians, Indian bikers." Well, you Indian bikers were with the Washichu. You're running with them. There's videos of you with them, and you're acting like them. You're running, wearing all these patches, trying to look like them. You damn sure don't look native to me. And, you know, and they're accusing her. And even today, tonight, they're still at it. I told this girl, "Hey, take that off Facebook, because you know what? There's always room to work things out in the future and be friends." But she didn't. She continues to put this up there. But the point that I'm making is we don't need to prove to nobody who we are. I took her down here to get another ID. While she is up here, she filled out her stimulus or that money they're getting, you know. She's more full blood than these people attacking her over there. But see, here's what I'm saying. I mentioned that one guy because he's Lakota. So because he's saying he's Lakota, I said his name, you know. I said his name. Because you know what? If you're going to be lying to people and telling people you're Lakota and using some Lakota words, but you can't prove it yourself, you know, then lie to people. And he said, you know, this is why AIM, well, GGC AIM, that clique over there, they throwed him out before because he tried to say that was him in a photo using a relative's, I think it was Edgar Bear Runner or one of them's photo, and said that was him because he thought nobody would know who it was. Can you imagine that? Man. Using and then now this guy's over doing this stuff. Anyway, long story short, they're on Facebook attacking our people, you know, and even I don't agree with that because there's a way to deal with it without Facebook, and there's a way to deal with life without calling the cops. But these people are low class, and then here's the other thing: they're up there, they're on MMIW, and they're against trafficking. They say, but they traffic my niece all the way up to Rapid City, used her money and made her like a maid for them. You know, that's why they had her. And then when they had no use because she had to go to the emergency room a couple times, they probably got tired of that, made up some baloney story over stealing a cell phone like that, Karen in New York accusing a black kid of a cell phone. That's what they did to her, you know? And on the video, they kicked her out of the motel room, and she's packing her bags, and they're attacking her, and she's real quiet. So all the people are saying, look, she's guilty. She's guilty. She ain't even denying it. She's guilty. She's guilty, you know? That's the kind of trash we got out there, you know? And the same thing with attacking medicine, man, using Facebook, using social media to attack our people. And, of course, they can say, yeah, oh, and they was attacking me too, but I don't care. They're saying, ah, he thinks he's spiritual, but look what he's doing. He thinks he's this and that. Well, you know what? I ain't trying to be nothing but myself. You know, I can barely be spiritual because sometimes I want to kick some ass, you know?
Yeah. That's, going back to that, you know, these people that are claiming Indian and Lakota and all this, you know, and that's what I was telling, you know, I always say this. A lot of these people want to be Lakota. They want to be us, but for some reason they hate us. What is that all about? It's common out there. That's the thing.
Yep.
See, and these people that are doing this, you know, what makes them more Indian than us? Nothing. We're all in the same boat. What they did was wrong. Why don't they acknowledge that? You know, that's my relation they're talking about, you know? And like you said, there's always a way to fix the problem and to deal with it and to go on with good vibes. But these people apparently, like I was saying, the Facebook warriors, they want that following. A lot of these people, that's all they're after, you know? And me and you know damn good and well, we ain't walking hell. We're furthest from it. But at least we hang in there, you know. And like I said, we do believe in the power of prayer. Me and you, Tushy, I've seen you there. Yep. I know what you're about, you know. And that's what I'm saying. And these people that don't understand that's never been there, that's never lived it. Those are the people that are instant Indians, and they want to create all these problems and do all these things. You know, that's what I'm saying. Find out who you are first for real before you start accusing and start doing these things, you know? And then, like you were saying, using a picture, you know, saying, oh, that's me, that's, you know, BS, you know? Those are things that ain't cool at all, you know? Understand and know who you are and don't bullshit, you know?
That's like me putting a picture of Elvis Presley up there in 1973 and saying, yeah, that was me. You know, that's how stupid that is, you know. And then this other girl that's attacking our niece, this other girl, you know, she was a hard drug user in Texas.
Yeah.
Drug user. But she had kids. So when she wanted to go out, she had a drug addict watch her kids.
Damn.
And she paid the babysitter drug addict drugs to watch her kids.
Holy
while she
shit.
Went out and hustled and did stuff like that. And then one day, the drug addict that was watching her kids just got up and left the kids.
Holy
so the cops
shit.
Came, took the kids. The cops came, took the kids, and then... And then she was in deep trouble.
Yeah.
So this was a AIM situation, you know, a chapter situation. So anyway, she wasn't in the chapter no more, blah, 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 you know, whatever. And then and then she started coming through and getting her act together. One time she even complimented me on what I was saying about sobriety on this radio show. She said, but now that she got away from that, put that bad time behind her, she's one of them women over there attacking our niece.
Yeah.
You know, just don't give up these people. You know, they and the person who started this whole action, she was getting attacked and had a miscarriage because these AIM people were attacking her about 5 or 8 years ago or something like that. They were attacking her, and I'm defending her, you know. And now look what she's doing to my niece or our niece, you know. This what gets me about them. They don't learn their lesson, these people. And they're on Facebook like a bunch of maggots, like a bunch of bed bugs, like a bunch of cockroaches attacking Indians.
You know, Tunchi, that goes back to that Washitu mentality. It's instilled in them pretty hard. When you have that Washitu mentality and you grow up with it, that's how you are. Wola Kota is totally different. Me and you know that. And people on the reservation know that. You know? And that's why we say Wola Kota. But people don't understand what that means. See? Get rid of that Washitu mentality. Think Indian, be Indian. Then you'll understand what we're talking about. A lot of these guys like that, they believe in that Washitu system. They're Washitu. They're brainwashed. You know? So that's the problem with a lot of these guys, that these Facebook warriors and stuff. Too much Washitu. It's easy to say it, but it's hard to live it.
But I wonder why, you know, because I can talk to you. I can talk to my brother. And I can talk to my people, you know, my Lakota people. And then I can talk to a few. There's a few outside that I can communicate with in a good way because they do understand what I'm talking about and they do know how to live this way. So there's a few of them, but these other ones, you know, even after this girl, they dumped my niece up there in Rapid City while they're representing MMIW. What if she could have got murdered or killed up there, you know? And disappeared after they dumped her on the streets. They represented this. Some other MMIW reps contacted me and asked me about it, you know, and I told them what I knew. I told them exactly what I knew because I went up to Rapid City to pick my niece up. I went up there and picked her up and came back. Then after we hustled money, And somebody bought a plane ticket. She went home, you know. After all that, so I explained this to them, and they said, "Yeah, but this person is a good speaker and good this and good that." You know, Tahashi, if you go on somebody's front door, and their door has poison ivy and painted black and evil and all this, and you get to that door, and inside there it looks all nice and shiny and all that, you know, that doesn't clear up about your front door, you know, like this girl's saying she's Hopi, and this girl's claiming she's, you know, this and that. Her front door's wicked. She's claiming something she's not. So after you get to the door, people just ignore what kind of front door she has. They say, well, she's all right, you know, but they forgot that she lied from the get-go. She's a liar. You know, once somebody's a liar and all that, you know, everything thereafter is poison. You know, first you come through that front door, it better be right. And after you get through the front door, you know, if you make mistakes, blah, blah, blah. But if your front door is tore up, you know, then you're tore up, you know. There's no way to fix that, you know. In other words, you're born that way. It's like being born another race. You can't help it, you know. When you got a tore up front door like that, you know, you can't help it if you're born another race. If you're born this kind of way where you're scroungy and doing stuff to wicked people and you're still tore up because one day you're going to keep flipping over. You can never fix that. But one thing is, like we said, Wakan Tonka will straighten all this out because you don't mess with people. And I feel sorry. That's why I asked you to pray for them, you know, in Lakota, you know.
Yeah. Well, like I was saying, because, you know, like you were saying, she started out, you know, why is she lying about who she is? Be honest about it. If you're Mexican, there's nothing wrong with that. That does, you know, you're not a woke person if you're Mexican, you know.
I'm happy with her being Mexican. She was a nice girl, you know. But yet, she had this bullshit quality. When I found out, I started keeping an eye on her. And then when I started seeing her going after these Facebook warriors and being with one man here and one man there, you know, and then, you know, started seeing this and leaving her kids, you know, but when she comes back, she says, oh, I care for my kids, all about my kids, but she's always leaving them, you know.
Yeah.
So, that's crazy.
You know, Tanshi, the thing that these people got to understand is me and you and our niece were related. And I don't care who in the world is doing what. We're still related. We are something to each other, you know. And that's worth protecting, like you said, you know. That's who we are because we've lived it. And like you said, we could get along with each other. Like I say, we have our differences, but we never put it out there. We keep it within. When we make it right, everything's all hunky-dory, you know what I mean? Because the truth comes out. And these people like that, they dwell on that, country. That's the sad part of it, see? They lie to tell another lie, and eventually it catches up to them, you know? And they don't understand that. If you're Indian, you should know that, you know? Honesty is something. Look at how honest we've been all these years. Look at our treaties. The Washitos lied to us. They keep lying to us. But yet we're still doing what we're doing, you know. And look at all that. They're making these Indians out like that, this woman and whoever else, pretty good liars, you know. They learned that. That's a learned process. They got to get away from that, you know. They have to use that Wolakota. They got to think Indian. That Washito mentality gets these people in trouble, and yet they still use that Washito mentality. When you speak Lakota, you can't lie. There's no dirty words in Lakota language. And that's why we say learn Lakota, because that's what it is. It's the truth. It's a sacred language. English is a bastard language, and they're good at that. They're real good at that. Look at this woman. Speaking of that country, she posted something about what happened over there in Sturgis, and she was crying on the internet and stuff. I don't know if you've seen it. But,
yeah, I did.
Know, yeah, that's not cool at all, you know? You know,
because
should be between her and our niece. Straighten it
exactly.
out there.
That's
don't,
what I told
don't,
her.
Don't,
I told
don't
her.
Don't go up there and cry for sympathy from all these people, you know?
If you've seen her, she aimed a camera at our niece while our niece was packing her bags. You know, she was using every force she could to hurt our niece so she could dump her and have an excuse for dumping her up there. And I told her, I don't care what my niece did. You don't dump her up there like a dog up there in the streets when she's Kuja like that. You know, she has Parkinson's. She has a castrator in her arm all the way to a heart monitor on her wrist all the way to her heart where the pacer is, and she's on about 5 or 6 different medications. And they're up there acting like they're going to beat on her, and they're cussing her out. Even a grown man there, there's a big man there in the video hollering at her saying, you stole from me. But she didn't steal from her. He gave her that stuff so she could make something for him out of it. You know? There's two sides to this whole thing, you know, but when you're over there all these dogs and stuff barking. She's just trying to get out of that room as safe as possible without saying nothing. You know, let me get the hell out of here. I'm going to shut up. You know how Loco says, I'm going to get out of here, you know, and put her head down and try to pack her bags and go. They shouldn't even throw her out of that room. But they took her there, but they throwing her out of the room on the video. And then that one witch is over there dialing the cops. And the other ones are over there filming it. Like, that's a really cool thing to call the cops. And they're all playing Native, Indigenous, MMIW, you know? And they're all doing that.
That's the thing. You know, they're playing Indian. Why are you calling the cops on an innocent woman? You know, there was a better way of a cell phone. Yeah. You know, there's plenty of cell phones out there. Who do you know who took it? Why are you blaming that person, you know? Find the truth out before you accuse, you know? And why do you want to take somebody from Cali all the way there, South Dakota, and then just drop them off? Have the compassion. Have the kindness in your heart to at least bring them back. Then say, this is what it is.
You know what? Check this out. To me, in my view, I've been on trips with people and didn't get along with them. I took people to California, and when I came back, no one was talking to me. I brought them back. But the other thing is, in that situation there, let's just give them the benefit of the doubt and say, okay, she stole their cell phone. I don't understand how she trafficking them, though. You know, that's a whole baloney story. That one girl ain't worth 50 cents, you know? So how could you traffic someone for 50 cents, you know?
How can one person traffic all these other grown-ups? I don't get it.
When they brought her from California, you know?
Yeah.
So here's my deal. What if she was guilty over that phone? What if she was? What if I took somebody with me and we're up there in a group in Rapid City and the person I was with ripped off that person and that person suspected and called her out on it? You know, since she came with me, I would defend the one that came with me and say, hey, man, don't accuse her. Yeah. Let me get to the bottom of this. And then later on, when no one's looking, hey, did you steal that cell phone?
Yeah.
Hey, why are you stealing from my people or something? You know what? We're going to say, you know, I ain't bringing you with me no more. You hear that?
Yeah.
I ain't taking you with me no more. This is your last trip with me. You know, that's as worse as I'll do, bro. You know, that's the worst I'm going to do. I ain't going to dump her, you know.
Why leave her up there? They took her from here. Why are they leaving her up there? Now, if they were all left up there at one time, car broke down, I could understand that. But why are they leaving her and going back without her? See? That's what I mean. What's wrong with these people? That's the Indian lady. That's the Indian girl that you're doing that to.
Yeah.
You know,
and they're always talking about Native Indigenous women, you know? These ones, they're the ones doing all the talking, and they're the ones on these, they're doing these MMIW runs, and they're showing off, doing live feeds all the time. And now everything they've done, all those live feeds is just a crock of baloney to me. It means nothing to me.
Did they find out who stole the phone?
They got the phone back. Yeah. They didn't find out. They're so cowardly, they don't want to admit they're wrong but there's a bigger story to it. They got into it with some other Indians there, some other biker Indians, and they were chopping each other's bike seats up. It was a big old mess, you know. This whole crew was wicked, you know, scandalous. This whole crew, they're fighting each other. So during this fight, they were saying, pack your bags, we got to get out of here. So they were just throwing stuff, and they were telling her, grab this, grab that. So they're throwing stuff at her, so she's putting them in her bag. You know, they're saying pack up. She don't know what to do. She's grabbing everything, and they're grabbing everything. Some of her stuff disappeared too, you know? And then after they get someplace, this one sick woman that, you know, supposed to be a unchi, you know, old woman, but wears chaps like a biker, wears all this and trying to look like a biker and like 60 years old or something like that, you know. And she's the one started this, accused her, because she lost her phone and she started freaking out. Where's my phone? Who's got my phone? Rah, 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 rah. Ooh, where's my phone? One thing led to another, and she didn't even know she had a phone. She didn't know their phone, where their phone was. But anyway, it showed up after all this accusation.
Damn.
So rather than admit they're wrong, they continue to accuse her and even put it on a live feed to all their stupid listeners and people that get in there, and all the people that are commenting, well, shit you and everything else, and tokas and everything, you know, they're all over there. Yeah. Getting involved in it, calling the girl, 150 people calling her no good and all this stuff, and kicked her out, told her get the F out of the room. So she's packing her bags in that live feed. You can see she's packing it, and they're on that live feed. They're on her case. That man says, you know, big grown man hollering at her because he knows he's on camera. He knows he's on video. So he wants to act tough. He can't act tough to a man, but he's acting tough to this woman with Parkinson's disease, pacemaker, and weak and sick. And she was so, you know where she spent the night? She was on the street. She had to stay in the hospital waiting room all night because she could, you know, that was the only place she could kick back for the night, you know? And she did that for two nights until, you know, I went and got her.
Yeah.
But the whole issue is when you take somebody from the house, when you take them, you make sure they get home. And if they didn't want to, they should have bought her a plane ticket right then and there and got rid of her. If they felt that way about it, if they were so strong on that, or bought her a bus ticket, you know, or something, you know, but not just dump her. Not call the cops on her and dump her, you know.
Damn.
You know, that's what kind of people they are. And then, like you said, you see the video, they're still doing it.
They're still
trying to clean their act up, so they're going to keep that video up like that's going to fix their problem. But that video up there is not fixing their problem. And having people even attacking me, all they're doing is – all they're doing is using that video to hurt somebody with 150 people. But you know what? There's more than 150 people on this earth. And there's more than there's 5 million Indians. And in the long run, how many people are really going to find out the truth? Because a whole bunch of them already inboxed me and, you know, stuff like that. So I told them, you know, I told them what's going on, you know. And a lot of them, you know, eased away from. So this girl, her audience isn't as big as it used to be. Her audience is only these few idiots like that Red Horse guy and that woman I said down there, that attic woman down there in Texas and some other people. Those are the only people that are on her. And then a bunch of nobodies that just jumped on Facebook and want to befriend Indians, you know, while she's doing stuff, you know?
Yeah.
So that's the only thing. But, you know, I don't want to stay on that subject this long, but it pertains to what we're talking about, how people use social media, the Washichu, to solve, you know, like this guy using social media to attack medicine men, you know, using the white man, using the white man as a weapon against us. You know what I mean? And that's what happened in Afghanistan. You know, the white man went over there and started that war and then got the half the Afghanistan nation to support them, you know, to betray their own people and made it sound like you know, giving them Milky Ways and Snickers, Wham Whams and Zuzus all this time. And so over 20 years, these people, we're in, you know. And then all of a sudden the U.S. throws them under the bus. So now they got to go back and face their people. You see?
Yeah.
When they should have never turned on their people, they should have endured their situation and figured out how one day, you know, might outgrow it or something, even though it's been, they've been this way for thousands of years, you know, younger people will make changes and it could change, but you don't jump on the white man's side. You know what I mean? Cause they'll throw you under the bus. You jump on the white man's side and they're doing that down in Venezuela. They're doing that all over the world. The Wasichu gets people to turn against their own kind. And then they throw them under the bus, and now they all got a hit list on them. You know what I mean?
You know,
and then the other thing is, look at, now the terrorists are mad. So they went and bombed and killed 200 people. But the American is only acknowledging 16 of them, you know. So even on Facebook, there's Indians on Facebook saying, oh, look, they killed 16 of our people. Well, those people were our enemies from the get-go. You know, that flag, just like us talking in the beginning of the show. Yeah, I feel bad when there's a loss of life, but they lost 200 people. Why do you separate 16 and say they're humans, but the rest ain't humans? These other ones are just like we were, savages. Don't worry about those other ones. Only worry about these 16 good, damn good Americans that were courageous and all that, you know? Don't worry about them women and children that got blowed up. And don't worry about how they've been blowing them up for 20 years. Don't worry about that, but worry about these. And then they got our people, Tanshi, just like them, crying for those 16.
You know, Tanshi, this is the thing about America. Every country that they go into, they terrorize. They're terrorists. And people all over the country, all over the world, are starting to realize that. You know, look at this Afghanistan. What were we doing there in the first place? It was all a lie to begin with. And people knew it. White people knew it. But yet, they agreed with Bush to go in there and start that war. You know, that's the Washitos are evil people. All they want to do is kill, destroy. You know, what is it about Washitos? Why are they that way? You know, America is one of the most evil countries in the world. You know, that's, I mean, the white American people, the Christians, so-called Christians, look at what they did to the Native Americans here in the United States. And they still lie about it today. They're still trying to hide it today. That's white America. They're terrorists. They're some of the biggest terrorists in the world. And these people in Afghanistan, they have every right to kick them out of there, to get rid of them. And those people that sided with them and that sold out to them, you know, they should have stayed Afghanistan. They should have stayed they should have stayed with that country and stuck with their people, but they didn't. Now they want to get out of there. They trusted the Wasichu. What happened? Now they're shipping them all over here somewhere, you know.
Now they're all on the hit list.
Yeah.
You know,
and they earned it. That's what it was. It was like all these, like they say, Custer had a bunch of scouts too, you know. But that's the same thing over there. Everywhere they go, they do this. And I was kind of glad Venezuela caught those guys that tried to do that over there and you know, took care of them, you know, because they're evil. You know what I mean? They'll start anything to steal something for free. You know, that's what
and
it
you
is.
Know what? The U.S., the U.S. slapped drug charges on Venezuela because that's, to them, that's how they can bush it and arrest them and bring it like they did Noriega, you know, and bring them over for drug charges. When President Reagan was the one who traded drugs for arms, you know, they don't say nothing like that, you know, and you know, this whole system that people fall for, my bro over here saying they did the same thing during Vietnam. The white man tricked Vietnamese to kill their own people.
Yeah.
They had South Vietnamese helping the Washichu, you know?
Yeah.
And then when it was all over, look what happened, you know?
Yeah.
You know, they do that all over the world. Here's the other thing, you know, like Biden was on TV saying, we're going to hunt you down. We're going to get you. We're going to. You know what? The guy who did that is dead already. The suicide bomber, he's gone. How are you going to hunt him down? What they're doing is now they got an excuse to blame whoever they want and gun them down and kill more people. And now they have a drone attacks. They said, to make him look good, he said, I authorized some drone attacks, and we got some ISIS leaders. How do we know they were ISIS leaders? Now they can kill anybody and say, they were ISIS leaders. You know, they were, now they're just going to go around killing people. Yeah, they were ISIS leaders. Maybe they were just like they're saying, people that have a brother, people that have a mother, people that have relatives. That's what they're crying on Facebook and in public. They're saying, those people that died, those 16 servicemen, they were fathers, they were mothers, our brothers, they were uncles, they were relatives, they were belonged to somebody, and look what happened to them. But so did our people in Wounded Knee when they massacred them. They didn't say those people had family. To them, they were just a bunch of Indians. And when they're killing black people on the streets, you know, when those cops are killing them left and right, and they're still doing it now, they ain't worried about that guy having a father, a mother, a daughter, a son. They're just gunning them down. And these are white people. They allow white people to kill black people, kill brown people. No white man should be allowed to put his hand on a person of color because he's automatically racist. He automatically has little value for anybody of color. It's in his mannerism, his characteristic, to look at us like just an animal. That's why they can gun us down easy. And then when you start running with them, rubbing elbows with them, you start thinking like them. And then you say, I wonder what it feels like to kill somebody. Well, I'm going to kill that black guy and I'll get away with it. How about that Indian? Nobody's going to stop me from killing that Indian, you know? And that's what they do. And they're out there. And that's why this country is so violent. That's why, you know, they want peace. The Americans want peace. They're never going to have peace because they live in violence. When you kill women and children, you're never going to have peace. And they're bombing women and children. They've been killing women and children since they came here. So they're never going to have peace. The only way they can have peace is, when Biden said, let's get up and leave. Yeah, they should have never went there. They should have left.
Yeah.
And don't worry about what happens after that. Let Afghan deal with their people. Let everything go back. Vietnam did it. Vietnam went back to being Vietnam, you know?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Some traitors got hung, shot, or whatever. But But when you become a traitor to your own kind, you know, that's a hard thing. So,
yep.
You know, anyway, you know, I want to tell you, I'm going to put a couple people, I want to put my bro here.
Good.
On, and we'll put Jennifer on too. David, what's happening, David, from West Virginia, from Virginia? From
what's up, my friend? What's up, my brother? Yeah, when you're talking
how you
about
doing?
Peace, you know, doing well. When you mentioned peace, you know, we think of peace as one thing, and I think we have to think about when they say things, it's the opposite of the truth. So when we say peace, we think of the literal definition of it. When they say peace, it means the opposite, meaning, you know, when they do things, like I said, I always think of Abu Ghraib when they went to Iraq. We're here to liberate the people of Iraq from you know, the leader of that country. And then what did they do? They end up terrorizing the people of that country, of Iraq. You know, Saddam Hussein was supposed to be a bad guy. Okay, there's bad guys all over the planet. You know, America has bad guys as well. But again, we're here to liberate you, but then pull down your pants. You know, we're going to pull down your pants, meaning what they did in Abu Ghraib, the prison, they were torturing and they were sodomizing. They were doing things that were, you know homosexual
first
things
of all,
to these men.
They made them all naked.
Exactly. And things that, you know, which goes against their culture, you know, and they were doing things, having female, you know, military personnel see these people naked, things like that, things that go against their culture, you know. But again, hey, we're here to liberate you. We're here to free you. Okay, the opposite of the truth, you know. And then we talk about, you know, what they did in Vietnam, which I brought up, you know, okay. They're less than 10% of the world population, Europeans, those we classify as white, not those people who call themselves white, be it from Brazil or other Spanish-speaking countries, Cuba, you know. Those people aren't white according to Europeans, but in their brains, within their location, they might call themselves white. But we call white Australians, Canadians, you know, those in here in America and throughout Europe, those people are white, 10%. Of the world population, and it was over 7 billion people on the planet. Okay, well, for them to do what they do, with 7 billion people on the planet, they're less than 10%. The bottom line is, for them to do what they do, they always need our help. They needed natives to hunt and track other natives. They needed blacks to help, you know, capture other blacks on the continent of Africa, let alone here in the Americas. When runaways took place, you know, they go over to Vietnam, they go over to Korea. Okay, you're South Vietnamese. We're going to help you fight the North Vietnamese. Again, you're getting your own people, you know, the indigenous people of that land, to kill other people that look like yourself. You know, we got black cops, we got brown cops, we got yellow cops, we got red cops. And what do? They're still doing the job of the white man. They're still helping to arrest, to imprison, to possibly kill people of color, because again, worldwide they're a very small number, and that's the part that they figured out. You know, if we're going to win this war of supremacy, white supremacy, they have to figure out how to get us to help them. So for me, you got drafted. I volunteered to join the military, but again, you know, I never pulled the trigger against whatever country, this government called the enemy, but I participated. I'm a cog in the wheel, and I helped, I will say I still help because I work on a military base as a civilian, but I still help, you know, and that's the thing.
You know what?
They cannot do what they do. We all feed the monster. Yeah, we all feed this
beast.
Hey,
bro.
Yes, sir.
You know, that's exactly what, you know, you're telling the truth there, because it don't matter what color ankles are in them boots. It's still
That's
a
right.
white man's army.
That's
and,
right.
and you know, that's how they got us. Just like, I look at these cops, our tribal cops. I seen one today with long hair. I was kind of happy to see a couple that still trying to look traditional. But you look at the other ones, man, they're all wearing those high and tight shaved heads around the side, wearing sunglasses, trying to look like military guys, SWAT team and all that. They look stupid as all hell. They don't even see it. And then you look at how our people try to imitate the American. Yeah. Our people are obsessed trying. Some of them are painting their hair purple and turquoise and blonde bleach. And then some of them are just like the bikers, like I said today. Those bikers, those Indian bikers, they come riding through the rest and you could tell they're BIA workers because they got nice big hogs. And then they got American flags flying off the back of their motorcycle, and they're looking tough. They're trying to look exactly like a Hell's Angel biker. They're imitating them to the T. And some of them are trying to grow hair like it, and some of them, because they're half-breeds or whatever, they can grow hair like them, you know? And then some of them are trying to be like cowboys. They want to dress just like a cowboy. And then you see some of them trying to wear a suit. Man, I seen our tribal president with a suit on. It didn't even match him. He looked like Herman Munster, Lakota Herman Munster, you know?
Yep.
You know, we don't match doing that stuff, you know?
When you mentioned that about a native wearing a suit, I see a person from the continent of Africa, and I've actually met some because my mother had been over there and some have come and visit, when they wear a suit, and it's just a traditional Western suit, it still looks, and like I said, I'm black, and for the most part, black people are black people are black people, regardless if you're from the islands or from, United States or from the continent of Africa. But for some reason, they look different when they wear a suit, you know. And, again, maybe us being assimilated more, and maybe we look just as weird as they do. But I remember seeing these people from the continent of Africa, Nigeria, Ghana, and a couple other countries, when they wear a Western suit, and it's nothing different about it. It's a suit. It's not, a different pattern on the fabric or anything like that. It's a suit. But it's kind of like they look like they don't belong in it. And I would go back to, thinking of Geronimo or any other native that, has survived, their name has survived in history, putting on a suit back in their time frame, they would just kind of stand out, and that's what I've seen when Africans, certain Africans at least, when they wear a suit, it just doesn't look right. So when you talk about, some of the natives wearing a suit, that's the first thing that came to my mind.
Like a black Cadillac with a bright orange door or something,
And a flag. Flagged out that something's not right.
Our blue pants is red socks, And
exactly.
just like this girl that was attacking my niece. They had to lay her on the bed to put on a pair of pants. It took three of them to slide on this pair of jeans on her so she could look good for the bikers. They took three guys and this Indian girl sliding jeans on her, wiggling and sliding to get them on her. And when they butt them up, she's out there looking like the Tasmanian devil instead. Why try to imitate somebody when it don't match you?
I think for us, and I say us, anybody of color, we live in a world that they control. We watch TV, we read magazines or flip through pages, we see TV commercials, and what they have created as the norm or standard of beauty, we will see it as well, And I think that's what it is. It's like, no matter how much we can instill in our families, our children, our community, okay, well, they still have to go out into the world that is controlled by them. You know, within your household, yes, but then as soon as someone turns on the TV, you know, they're watching what? You know, as soon as they leave, you know, the house and leave, you know, and go to the store or go to the anywhere on a reservation or go out in town, what do they see? All the stuff that white people have considered a standard. So, you know, I got a buddy who's, you know, probably more knowledgeable than I am, and he always tries to deny that, you know, this world we grew up in doesn't influence him. I said, well, we're not speaking Swahili. We're not speaking any tribal language from the continent of Africa. We're speaking English. You know, you're not wearing some tribal clothing from Africa. You're wearing traditional Western clothing. You know, you spent 28 years in the United States Army and a part of it in the United States Navy. So for you to say that you're not influenced by, you know, the Europeans and whites and this government, you know, you're in denial because you are. You know, you spent how many years in the military? You've been to a couple of conflicts, you know, this country has sent you to. You're not willing to, you know, fight the enemy here, but you're willing to fight wherever your government, like I say, a bipedal, well-trained canine, you know, a two-legged dog said, and your master told you, this is your enemy, go fight and kill them. But you know who your real enemy is, but you're not willing to do anything about that one. You know, so, I mean, we're all influenced, you know, and the bottom line is, you know, we have to accept the fact that's the truth, and then from there we can move on to trying to solve the problem.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm glad that you mentioned that because, you know, just like I was talking with Tahunshi right now, we have our people. We're losing our spiritual leaders, you know? So we're trying to hold on to what we have left, you know? And sometimes mm-hmm. it don't seem like we have very much left, you know? It seems, and, you know, my Tashi there, what, and my older brother, he's on here too. These guys, when they leave, and myself included, there's no, we're leaving people that were alive in the 50s, you know, in 60s, and like our parents and our grandparents were alive in the 1800s, you know, and we heard, right. We know stories from that. And this new age people that we have, they don't have that connection. They, you know, some of them, their parents are as old as me, as old as us, you know. Their grandparents are as old as us. They don't have nothing to go beyond that. So when they talk about being Native, they flip-flop a lot. They don't right. know, like you hear them talking about pot. Now they're calling it hemp. They're calling it cannabis. You know, they're not calling it what we call it, you know. They they're trying to promote this stuff. But I'm not into promoting that stuff, especially on this radio show. I had some come on and try, and I just kind of got rid of them. Because I don't want my kids using, you know. I don't care,
yeah.
And I'm not going to sugarcoat it by saying it's for medicine reason, because I know what pot does. If you got cancer and you smoke pot for the pain, what it does, it makes you lose the fighting spirit to fight the you can't fight no more. You just mm-hmm. let yourself die. And sometimes you can fight these diseases. You can fight it and take Indian medicine or let Medicine Man help you. you know. But if you're high on pot, you ain't going to do that. You're, man, this is cool. I'm going to stay on this. This is better. And then they die because
I'll be 56 in December, and up to this point in my life, I've never smoked pot. You know, I've never done any, you know, I guess illicit drugs, I guess is the word. I've drank alcohol underage, but I've never put marijuana. And I always say if I live till the age of 80, I'll fire my first joint up. I'm sure it'll be legal way before then as the states go on. But I understand what you're saying. And my question to you is, are there any 30 to 40-year-olds who will be the next generation of spiritual leaders within the community? Or when you say the ones who are spiritual leaders now, when they pass away, there's no one to fill in that void.
Well, you know, my Tanshi, he could probably answer that better, cousin here. What I would say right now is it's really hard, but I know we have faith in a couple, you know, but it's very few now. Go ahead, Bimber.
Yeah, you know, there's some of these traditional elders, these people that are trying to preserve that. And like Kunishi said, there is a few of them that are interested in that are doing pretty good. But like he said, it takes a lot.
Right.
To be a medicine man and to be born that way, it takes quite the commitment to stay home and take care of your people.
Mm-hmm.
There's very few in today's day and age that are willing to do that. Look at Leonard Krudov. Look at how he was. Look at how much people he helped. You know, he learned at a very young age at his house. That's how he grew up. He grew up with that. And there's very few today that grew up like that. But there are some that are in the learning phases now to try to carry it on. And it's good to see that because, like I say, we're down to just a couple of real medicine men. And when that's gone, so is all the stuff that, you know, that is attached to it. And pretty soon we'll be just red white men. You know, we'll be going through emotions like the people of church. They go through emotions, but there's no spiritual connection. That's the sad part of it. But hopefully these up and coming, these ones that are dedicating their lives to that, will pull through. You know, I want to say, you know, that they will pull through, but it's too early to tell right now. But I'm hoping they do, because it takes a lot.
Do you know, is it people documenting it, the knowledge versus just being passed on verbally?
It's really not.
It's being passed on. It's being taught to these young individuals. But like I say, the dedication that it takes, like I just told you, Leonard Krodog grew up like this. Rick Turlox grew up like this. Dickey, they grew up like this. They grew up in these ways. From very young age, they were chosen. Now, these ones that are up and coming, there's a lot of influence that comes into play, like we talked about. There's a lot of outside influence that it's hard to get rid of because it's there, you know, and that's what makes it hard. And then a lot of them don't know the language. The language is the foundation of who we are. A Lakota is a guy that speaks Lakota. That's a Lakota, you know.
Mm-hmm.
A Nakota is a guy that speaks Nakota. Dakota is the same thing. Navajo, all these people, they have a language, is who they are. And it's hard to find that amongst any tribe today. The Lakotas are probably the last of them, you know, and the Navajos.
Right.
They're hanging in there, but, you know, like I say, it's like I'm hoping that we do survive, that we do eventually pull through, because like I say, there's some young and up and coming that are serious about it, and I hope they stay serious without all this outside influence.
Mm-hmm.
So it is being taught, but it's going to take some time. And I hope it does pass on to the next generation.
To answer your question about documenting, this ain't a way of life that you can learn from a book.
Nope.
You have to learn it. Like we mentioned, Uncle Crow Dog, he was raised this way. He didn't even go to school. He never went to school. These guys, being a medicine man like them, isn't all about just running a Sundance or this. They learned all these medicines. They learned about the stars. They learned everything as they went along. They learned them. They didn't learn them from a book. They learned them from their grandmas and grandpas and dads and mothers and aunties, you know, and they were taken out to learn this, you know. Like even simple like today I went and hustled some plums. There's people that don't even do that now, you know, a traditional thing like getting plums. And the other thing is some people wait until they're 30 years old and decide they're going to do this. Well, mm-hmm. You lost 30 years of learning this way. So they can't be, it's hard for them to be 100% because they lost the major part of it, you know, growing up to try to figure this out. When Crow Dog and all these, like Rick Two Dogs and other medicine man, and Jennifer is on the line. Her grandpa was Black Elk, the real Black Elk. And she's from that bloodline, and her kids are picking up this way. So there's a possibility, but I'll let Jennifer speak right now. Jennifer.
Good evening. Can you hear me?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, I thought I had the mute on. It all depends on how you expose yourself to other prayer circles, because that's really kind of what my son does and my daughter. They don't limit themselves to just certain circles. And so there are some people that I kind of feel like, to some degree, that they're kind of going, I don't want to say underground, because so many crazy things are going on with Big Pharma that I think sometimes our medicine men can be under attack for the threat that we know certain medicines that can cure white man's diseases, and we can't encapsulate any or some of the plants because it's not really the carcass of the plant that is doing the doctoring, is actually the spirit of the plant. So the medical institutions don't teach their doctors that piece of reality. And so we're kind of careful of what we do know and who we know, who are uprising. But there are, I want to give that there is a seventh generation that has been prophesized, and they will come through. And I don't feel like we've really lost anything. And my kids were raised, I homeschooled them, so I took them out of the institutional the buildings that they were taught lies in anyway, and I had them be around the elders that were alive at that time. Many of them were grooming them, but ultimately who teaches my kids is the ancestors. That there are spirit helpers that come broad daylight to them or in the middle of the night. You just never know when they're going to come. And there are ceremonies that my dad comes in still. He he passed away in 2004, but it's really kind of unique bond that we have that special connection still, that he can come into ceremonies. And there was a time that I was in a ceremony, a Uwipi, and he came in and Dad put his hand on my shoulder to give me strength because I was in a lot of pain that night trying to sit through a ceremony. And, you know, he strokes my hair sometimes and puts it back from my face and lets me know that I'm not alone. And, you know, my kids see him. My grandkids even see him. And, you know, he comes and takes them places in different dimensions, and spirits come and take them to different dimensions. To hear some of the things that my son especially has shared of going into a whole different galaxy where thunder spirits live, it's just amazing. Some of the things that how connected that they really are. And these things will be talked about, though. These things are not to be put in a book or something. And like we said, there's just some things that cannot be documented at all. And we cannot corral the spirits inside pills. So there's a lot of things that these white people really need to assimilate towards us. And I just recently wrote a little article where it talked about when they came to the shores of our tribal countries, that they thought that they were going to bully us and make us complicit and have us learn their language and all this, when reality they should have been learning who we are and assimilating to us. And so what I said was that we're not the ones suffering from intergenerational trauma, because we're the ones that are survivors and that we've pulled through with our spirituality still. But the white people, they have an intergenerational trauma of psychosis and inferiority complexes. And their fear shows by their badges and their guns. And, you know, I talk about a lot of things how our mindsets differentiate, because we live in the physical and the spiritual realms. And they're so far divorced from Mother Earth that I don't know what's going to take for them to come to their senses, because to me right now, all of this stuff is important, but I am seriously worried about the climate change and how much mankind existence has left on this earth in reality. But I do know that the seventh generation, they understand this Tanufa, and we have to give more credit to them than what is than what is given to me, because they're amazing kids that are doing something environmentally. And they may be just a handful, but there are groups out there, but we just kind of have to quit focusing on the negativity all the time, but look at who is doing something. And I just recently was brought on a production team out of New York, and so we'll be using this platform to showcase a lot of Native talent of them not just talking about the environment, but who are taking action and making people accountable and taking some, being motivated to do something, to be part of a solution. Because sitting here and just kind of like rant, being a Facebook warrior, really doesn't do much, but we do need to get that collective consciousness together too, as well, as far as that we can make it happen. So that's kind of the stuff that I work on, and I appreciate that you guys let me put in my two cents worth, and I enjoy everything that everybody has to share, and I thank you for listening.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, the thing is, you know, like our spirituality is kind of easing out in a lot of ways. And we're trying, some of us older people are trying to reel it back in. And every day it makes it harder because the American, his influence is so powerful. His influence seems, you know, the outside world looks at America as really democratic. You have everything, all these freedoms and all that. But you look at countries that America actually influenced. Gee, what was that?
Yep.
Anyway, you know, that America influence, like say the Ukraine, I'll give an example. Before, they could sell stuff on the street and make money, have their own economy. But once the American gets in, having your own economy is out the drain. It's like, like even on Indian reservation, down there at the Gila River Reservation, they had a turnoff where people sold Indian tacos, burritos, right out there on the turnoff by the interstate. You could pull in there and get a burrito or something really quick and take off. While one college student Indian decided to fix the place up and make people have a license and inspection, he just ruined it. So that's what America does. So in the Ukraine, they can't do that no more. They got to start having licenses and government overseeing everything they do. So once these countries go American, they start seeing it's not free like it was. When I talk to truckers and stuff on the road that come from different countries, and yeah, they came over here and was all happy. And here, once they started seeing all these limitations we do have, they're ready to go back to their own country. They don't like being pulled in by white man. They don't like getting bullied. They don't like the threat. They live over here. You know, and that's what you give up when you choose to go what they call democratic. You give up all these freedoms. You give up all this. But these other countries, they don't learn it. Once you go that way, you can never go back, you know. And that's what's been happening when this country takes over other countries. They lose it, you know. They lose all their freedoms, and yeah, they look like they're nice driving BMWs, cell phones, you know, wearing jewelry and all that. They're looking good, but look at how some of these people can't even look at that Charlo brother. He got locked up for robbery just because he got mad, and you know, our people. Don't understand the law. And when they break the law and you're a person of color, that law comes slamming down on you pretty damn hard, you know. And it's hard to have equality. Go ahead.
Yeah, when the word law, I always think of, and I always say the word laws, and I break it down as like the military, you know, it's just a, it stands for legal arm of white supremacy. You know, laws, when they want laws to work, to benefit people, it works. When they want laws to hurt people, it works. You know, so the legal arm of white supremacy said it was legal to prevent black people from voting. It was legal to prevent women from voting. You know, all those things that they come up with. You know, they basically said when they wanted to put that pipeline through, and when everybody was protesting, you know, they said no, it's legal to do it. You know, when they want to take your land, they say it's legal to do it. You know, eminent domain, Supreme Court said no. If it benefits the, you know, the city, the state, the country, we can take your land, you know. So laws to me just mean legal arm of white supremacy. You know, the military arm of white supremacy is, you know, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines. Then local white supremacy is, you know, either the res, you know, police or the police in Rapid City. You know, you got the state police, and then you got the national police, which I guess we call the FBI. You know, the international police would be the CIA. You know, so again, laws, it's still part of white supremacy at the end of the day. They can make anything
you know,
they want legal.
And we're the one at the bad side of that, you know. We're
exactly.
Like I was telling these people that came over here, I said, you know what? I've been all over the world. I walk down the streets every place in the world, been dark alleys, whatever, never worried. But right here, when I leave this res line and get in, hit Kilgore and go to Valentine, I'm sweating it. PTSD kicks in because that cop's bully you. That cop going to accuse you of speeding. That cop could plant something on you. They've been busting them for planting stuff. It's not just an exaggeration. Those cops plant stuff on you. They say they do anything, and their word is gold when you go to court. And this down here in Nebraska, they're still getting away with murder. They killed an Indian last year who ran into a church for sanctuary because the church is supposed to be sanctuary. They tased him in the doorway, then gunned him down in the doorway and told the people in church he was going in to kill him. You know, that was their excuse, and they got away with that. But the Indian ran in here because he thought church was sanctuary, you know. But then all the church people were praising the cops for saving them from him. You know what I mean?
What's that phrase? Hollywood movies that created white man speaks with forked tongue. You know, when they show a native, well, it wasn't a native. It was usually a white actor with a dark makeup and a wig with pigtails. But you know, they would say white man speaks with forked tongue. So saying he was here to kill everybody inside the sanctuary. That's just what white people do, you know. There's a phrase that one guy told me, and I never forgot it. He said, there's a group of people placed on this earth to create mischief. And, you know, I think that group of people are Europeans.
Yeah, they're here to create mischief. And correct. And I always wonder, Tanashi, remember, I always wonder, you know, they always say there's one God. They say there's one God. We always believe in that. But it looks like Washichu have another God, you know? And I mean, I get really confused in that part because look what George Bush did that, what's the name that just died, Dick Cheney and Donald Rumsfeld. Look, they lived to be 80 years old, and they murdered all kinds of people, you know?
Exactly.
And those people get away with wicked stuff. But the only thing that I have to give myself comfort is maybe once they do die, they go through hell, wherever they end up. Maybe there is a hell where they go, you know?
My interpretation is hell is here on earth. You know, it may not be for white people, but it is for everybody else of color. And again, you know, they convince people who look like us, black, brown, yellow, red, to fight and kill other people of that are black, brown, or yellow, red. You know, and I remember, Wombly, you said to me one time, I said, oh, yeah, the Buffalo Soldiers, da-da-da-da. And you said, hey, they killed my people. And it made me back up and like, oh shoot. You know, as a Hasaba, it's like, I said, wait a minute, you're right. You know, that was black people helping white people to kill red people. You know, so it's like, you know, when you brought that up, it made me go, oh, wait a minute now, you're right.
You know, it's they're good at using other people, like at the border. They use Mexicans to kill and bust Mexicans at the border.
Yeah.
Yep. They use their own kind. You know, I got stopped by a Mexican cop a little bit north of Laredo on Highway 83. And this cop pulled me over for no reason. And I told that Mexican cop, I said, you know, I'm proud to see someone like you. You could have a good influence, you know, on the youth, you know. But I said, you know, the bad thing about it is look at me. I'm the same color as you, and you pull me over for nothing. Even checked inside the truck. I had a reefer going. And I had to call in for him to open the back up and change the seal so he could look to see I ain't got nobody back there. I said, you know, the white man is using you to be a enemy of your own kind. I said, you should be ashamed of that. He was pissed when I was telling him that, you know. And he asked me, you ever been in prison? I said, I don't need to answer none of that, you know. I said, I don't have to answer you nothing. You either give me a ticket or do what you want, you know. But I said, I'm just telling you, you're a brown person. You have same color eyes as me and everything, but look at you. You pulled me over. He said, no, I didn't pull you over. I said, yes, you did. You know damn well you did, you know. I said, I'm not going to argue with you. You can go ahead and take it from here. And I let him go through his routine, and I hit the road, but at least I told them what I thought, because I seen how they treat Mexicans. I was at customs, and this Mexican was at the custom, you know, the giving his passport, and they had a dispute there, so they called two Mexican cops right there in Chicago. Two cops. They weren't Border Patrol or custom cops. They were city police or whatever, and they walked over to talk Spanish and interpret. Man, these guys act like they were God. They were rocking on their heels, blah, 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 blah. You know, they were playing like they were God compared to this guy because he couldn't talk English, you know. And that's how they are, you know.
You know,
they are good at – go ahead.
Conscious, you saying that, you know, it's just like these people that are going after our niece. That's the same mentality. There's no such thing as a good cop. They always say, oh, there's good cops. I've never seen one yet. And I don't think I've ever experienced any good cop anywhere. You know, they're taught, doesn't matter what color they are, they're taught to be just like the white man, and what the white man wants, they have to do it. And a lot of them go way beyond to try to prove that they're just like these white people, you know. They try to fit in.
Exactly.
And it doesn't work that way, you know. And that's why I say, you know, look at these people, our own people. And that's what makes it harder in hell to be Indian nowadays, you know. Look at our own people. We're our greatest enemy, like I say. You know, look at all these people attacking our medicine men, you know. They shouldn't even say anything about our medicine then. You know, that's a period. You know, if they don't study the university of the universe, they ain't got no room to speak to about those people, you know, because that's what they do. They go to the university of the universe. That's who teaches those people, you know. And that's the difference between the medicine men and us, you know. And these wannabe Indians of today, wannabe Indians of today, they don't understand that. You know, they could take me and you off the res, but they could never take the res out of us. Because, see, that's the problem, see? And that's these people that want to be Washichu. They want to use Washichu, but yet still play Indian. See, that's a bad combination, man, you know? They forget who they are. They forget where they come from. We're not bold people. These Mexicans, they ain't bold people like you were saying. Look at what he did, you know? And to me, he's a bad influence to the rest of his people, you know, because of who he tries to act like and what he tries to be. He tries to be that Washichu, you know, that guy that goes out and destroys, has no, you know, always say Washitos have no spirit. That's why when you say their God and our God's country, there's a big difference between us and them. I mean, you've lived it and we've lived it, you know. Washitos has no spirit. They killed Jesus Christ. That was their medicine, man, and ever since then, look at how ugly and cruel and mean those people are. Look at how violent they are, you know. They don't know how to be kind. All they know is violence. And a lot of these people are joining them, even our own people, you know. And that's the thing about these people today. And that's why when Jennifer was talking about these ones that communicate and stuff, these people that have this are chosen from the time they're born. And there's some, like I said, there's someone up and coming. And I hope the outside influence isn't their downfall. You know what I mean? You know, there's a lot of them get started good, and then they get into that outside influence, money. Mazaska, you know. That's the Washitu's God. Mazaska is Washitu's God. Nothing else. Mazaska. Money. You know, so there's a big difference. There's a big difference between me and your Tunkashla and the white man's Tunkashla. There's his mother's scotch. Ours ain't.
Yep. Okay. Hey, Dave, do you have any last comments?
Yes, sir. When he was bringing up, us doing their job for them, think about all the, since there's a majority of black chief of police across the country. They don't do anything about the racist cops in their police departments. In fact, if you watch the videos, watch the news, often they'll be defending that officer for doing whatever they did. You know, again, white people can't do what they can do without the help of black people. What they did in Iraq and Afghanistan without interpreters, without, you know, the Iraqis, without the Afghanis that fought alongside the Americans, they couldn't do what they do. You know, you need to know the culture and the language of the people that you're trying to kill. And that's what white people do. They always find the Green Beret. One of their jobs working as a Green Beret is to win the hearts and minds of the local population that your country you're in. They go into what? They go in there and they help with medicine. You know, hey, your baby's sick. I can fix them. Hey, your water is making your family sick. I can get you a well. Blah, 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 blah. You know, they need the local population to help them kill other people from that same geographical area. You know, we need to figure out, and then at the end of the day, from Vietnam leaving people who supported the Americans to Afghanistan, you know, the Americans are pulling out, and there's a whole bunch of Afghanis that supported the Americans that are going to be left behind. You know, regardless, what Biden says, regardless of what the government says, there's going to be people left behind who supported the American government, you know, and they're going to be left to the hands of whoever's in power. They say the Taliban, whatever. But the bottom line is they're going to be left behind. You know, whatever freedoms they enjoyed while the Americans are there, they're not going to be able to enjoy it once the Americans leave. And that's what Americans do. They will leave you when they're done what they're doing.
All right. Dave, thank you, and remember, you know, say a prayer for us. You know, we gotta go. Or give us a last comment before you say a prayer. You know, anything? Or Larry, you got anything to say? You know, don't bring up no high heels or nothing. Just. Let me see. Go ahead, Bimber.
Una.
All right. With that, do you have any last comments? remember before you go, before you want to go?
It was a good show, and like I say, you know, there's a lot to think about. You know, I hope some of these people that try or want to be Indian understand what we're saying. We're not condemning nobody. We're just telling it the way it is.
Exactly, you know, if you want peace out there, people, then get off of Facebook, quit your baloney on Facebook, and deal with life like, you know, person to person. We can all talk, we can all communicate without Facebook, but quit hiding behind that button over there. And with that, we're going to have to take off right now. And I thank all of you for being there with us. Doksha.
Akala.
Peace.
Peter.
Train going in from Fargo, carrying my mother back to me. She died last week outside of Fargo, victim of her country's apathy. No, no more fighting for me, mother. No more suffering to be done. No, no more pain and no more sorrow. Don't you know that you have won? Yeah, 35 more miles and you'll be free. 35 more miles to go home. And through the never-ending rain, I'll bring you home again. Oh, mama, 35 more miles and you'll be free. 35 more miles and you'll be free. Yeah, hey, 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 hey. Ooh, 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 ooh. Oh, oh, oh. Never-ending rain, I'll bring you home again. Oh, mama, 35 more miles and you'll be free. 35 more miles and you'll be free. Though they never let me know you, still, you mean so much to me. Now, I wish that I could show you all the love you're never gonna see. No, no more fighting for me, mother. No more suffering to be done. Never-ending rain, I'll bring you.